Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for us to go to God in prayer. Go to God to study the Word of God. Go to God to receive what He has for us on tonight. It is always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank each and every one of you that took time out of your busy schedule to come and share with us as we explore the Word of God. It is the 8:30 hour. And I want you guys to know that God is truly in the blessing business. God is taking care of all of our needs. God is working everything out for our good. Our program tonight, the title of it is the title of our lesson tonight is Consequences Are Always Attached to Sin. What that is saying that every sin have a consequence, just like everything you do good have a consequence as well. But I want you to know tonight that consequences are always attached to sin. And I want you to know tonight that each and every one of us get to choose our sin that we decide to commit. But God judges and gives the consequence. We're coming from the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 15. And as always, we're going to play a song tonight. And after we do the song, we're going to come back and go to God throne of grace, where mercy can be found. We have to realize that God is our source, our help, and our strength. So we have to just be ready. Tonight, I encourage you, whatever you're doing, whatever obstacles in your way, no matter how hard the road may seem on tonight, but I just want to encourage you to not quit. I'm going to play this song, and then we're going to come back to the throne of grace.
Listen. The economy's down. Price has seemed so high. Seems like all I ever do is try and try, yeah. Trying to make ends meet. Trying to pull myself above so I can see. But every now and then it seems so helpless, hopeless. But I'm a living, breathing testimony of what God can do. If you hold on long enough, He will see you through.
Come and run.
Encourage you, whatever you do,
whatever you do,
just don't. Check this out. I've got my own set of challenges, yeah. And my friendships sometimes they wear a little thin. I even began to wonder if my own family is out or in. I'm trying to make sense of my life. I'm trying to overcome all the
Hallelujah, away from your breakthrough, don't quit. You won thank you, Jesus, away from your promotion, don't quit. You won glory to God away from your next level, don't quit. You won bless your heart.
Hallelujah, everybody. Here it is, God has allowed us to come together one more time. This is ordained by God, and I thank each and every one of you for coming together to fellowship in the word of God. I thank you. Hallelujah, and I praise God for the opportunity that he's bestowing us upon us every Wednesday night to be able to come together and fellowship one with another. As we explore the word of God, the songstress said, don't give up. No matter what you're going through, no matter what is facing you at this time, God is able. And if you take some time, sit back and relax, and if you think about God and all that he's ever done for you, if you look back over your life and see and think things over, you could see that God is in the blessing business. And just like he did it for you then, he's going to do it for you now. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. Hallelujah. And at this time, it's time to go to God's throne of grace. If someone on the line would like to pray, God is affording an opportunity. And whosoever will, let him come. And I'll open the mic, and you could pray to God. When we pray, we let God hear what's going on with us, our dreams, our hopes, our problems, our fears. And then we're going to study the word is where God speaks to us, where God reveals himself to us. when we get to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. So at this time, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, you're the God that gives every perfect gift. Our God, our Lord, our Savior, our Master. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. And Lord, I can confess with my mouth and with my heart that if you don't do anything else for me, you have already done enough. And for that, dear God, I say thank you. I lift up and I praise your holy name. God, I realize that you created us to give you glory, honor, and praise. And it's only our reasonable service that we do that and extend that towards you. God, in the Bible somewhere they say, if you don't want to praise God, God says he can't get his people to praise him, he's going to let the rocks cry out for him. Lord, I want to lift up my mouth because I don't want rocks crying out for me because you've been too good to me. You've been so kind. You keep on blessing me in the midst of my storms, my trouble, my trials and my tribulation. You keep on blessing me. God, you are my present help in a time of anything that's going on. Lord, you promised never to leave us or forsake us. And Lord, I believe it because the only way you can achieve it, you have to believe it. Lord, I believe everything that you said from Genesis to Revelation. But I confess with my mouth on tonight that I haven't been able to achieve it. But I believe it. And God, I confess that I am not perfect, but I am faithful. And Lord, I just want to thank you for your bountiful blessings. I thank you for your sweet son, Jesus. And I thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit that you allow to live and dwell inside of us, leading and guiding the way. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, our program tonight is coming from the book of 2 Samuel. We're going to be in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. And we're going to expound on verses 1 through 15. And as always, you know we do background. And the title of our lesson is, consequences are always attached to sins. And I want you to know the sins that we commit. Not that we're just trying to commit sins. But the Bible said we all fall short of the glory of God. But the sins that we commit, we get to pick those sins. But the consequences for those sins are judged by God. And God gets to choose the consequences for your sins. You know, the title of our lesson is Jesus Removes Our Sins. The background for our lesson, but the consequences of those sins belong to you. Our tonight lesson is using Old Testament scripture, and some of you may wonder, if Jesus was not yet born, how could they that were born in the Old Testament be saved? You see, if the Old Testament way of salvation was not keeping the law, then how would the people say it? Many people believe that the keeping the law in the Old Testament is what saved the people. But I want to tell you that that's a common misconception about the Old Testament way of salvation. And it's, you know, people believe that that's the way the Jews were saved, by keeping the law. But we know from scripture that is not true. You see, Galatians 3:11 says, now it is evident that no one is justified by God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. So even here we realize in the Old Testament, even though Jesus wasn't born and he hadn't become the Savior of the world, they were there before Jesus. You wonder, Jesus is the only way. How could they get saved? But the scripture here lets us know that the righteous shall live and be saved by faith. You see, the law was never intended to save anyone. The purpose of the law was to make us conscious of sin. The sacrifices that were made could only cover the sin, but it could never have taken them away. But you see, fortunately, the answer to the question is easier found in Scripture. So we can have no doubt as to what the Old Testament way of salvation. So I have to go to Romans, the fourth chapter. And in that fourth chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that the Old Testament way of salvation was the same as the New Testament way, which is by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. You see, to prove this, Paul points us to Abraham. Remember, Abraham was born way before Jesus. And watch this. It tells us about Abraham, who was saved by faith. You see, Paul quotes the Old Testament to prove his point. And if we look at Genesis 15 and 6, and he believed the Lord, talking about Abraham. You know, Abraham was just a righteous dude. And even though, you know, Jesus hadn't come and he wasn't in a time of a savior, but he believed God. And God made the promise of a Messiah coming. So by Abraham believing the promise that God had made, and God, because of that, counted to him righteousness. You see, Abraham could have not been saved by keeping the law. And you might ask me why, but watch this, y'all. He lived over 400 years before the law came out. So when Abraham was born, Jesus wasn't born. And the institution of law had not been in place. But Abraham believed God. God accredited that belief to righteousness. And because of the righteousness, it granted him grace. And grace produced salvation. I hope y'all got it. Abraham was before the law. He was before Jesus. But he was a right standing man. And he trusts God. So God accounted that trust in him and believed the promise of a Messiah to come. He counted it towards Abraham's account as righteousness. And by the righteousness that Abraham received, God granted him grace, and grace granted him salvation. Hallelujah. You see, in the Old Testament, it was faith and the promise that God would send a Messiah someday. And God pronounced that in Genesis 3:15, in the very beginning of Genesis, because man fell in the second chapter of Genesis, and by the third chapter, 15 verse, God had promised a Messiah to fix up what mankind had messed up. You see, those who live in the time of the Old Testament look forward to the Messiah because they believe God's promise of the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord. Watch this. Those who exercised such faith were saved back then. But look at us today. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the Messiah coming. But today we look back and we could see the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, who did atonement for our sins. You see, they had to look forward, and we now have to look back to all the promises to come and all that Jesus had done. Faith, I come to tell you tonight, is the only way. Faith is the only way. And I'm going to give you a little introduction to the lesson tonight. I say that if we read 2 Samuel chapter 11, we would have seen the facts that happened and caused Nathan to go to David using a parable. You see, one evening, now I'm in the 11th chapter, but we're going to expound on the 12th. One evening, David was walking on the roof of his home. He noticed a beautiful woman in another house bathing. He failed to control his passion. Come on, y'all. And in violation of the second commandment, he committed adultery. The story of David and Bathsheba is well known. And you see, when Bathsheba was found out that she was pregnant, David got deeper in his sin because he tried to cover it up. But when it didn't work, because Bathsheba's husband was one of David's soldiers. When David impregnated Bathsheba, David tried to get the Bathsheba husband to go out to war, and he was going to put him on the front line, which would almost positively guarantee that he would be killed, and David won't have to answer to Bathsheba's husband. He's doing a cover-up, y'all. But when it didn't work, the man told him, Bathsheba's husband, he said, go ahead out there before you go out there, he said, send the men, but you stay home and you be with your wife. Because you see, David wanted Bathsheba's husband to have sex with her, and then he could have said that the child was for her husband and not for him. Things like that still happen today. That's why DNA testing is so successful. So when Bathsheba's husband said, no, I'm not going to send my men out. I'm going to go with my men. So when that didn't work, he commanded a further sin by arranging for her husband, Uriah, to be killed on the battlefield. That's some covering up, huh, y'all? Even though David tried to conceal what had happened, it was possible that the news of these incidents became known to others in the nation, bringing shame upon God. You know, people like to always tell God, yeah, you say that's one of your Christians. Look how they're acting. Yeah, you say that's one of your preachers. Now, that's one of your teachers. But look what they're doing. People are always ready to point the finger. But they found out and they start talking about it, trying to make shame to God concerning the man of God. But let me tell you this. Nothing escaped God's notice. You got to believe he was already aware of David's sin and our sins as well. Watch this. Even though David sinned, God didn't allow David's past to dictate his future. Y'all know in the Bible, God said David is a man after his own heart. David made a lot of mistakes, but David knew how to repent. David knew how to worship and praise God. David would get to start playing an instrument, and he would dance all out of his clothes, giving honor unto God. God said that David was a man after his own heart, even with the incident, with the adultery, with being a murderer, having a lady's husband killed. Now, that's the story that was in verse chapter 11. But tonight we're in chapter 12, and we're going to start for the first to the 15th verse. And Nathan is coming on the scene. Nathan was a prophet that God used to speak to Nathan to talk to David. And Nathan was like a voice of reasoning for David. And Nathan, you know, was always there with wisdom for David. So that's what happened. So Nathan's got to go to God. Nathan got a message from God to go to David because God knew the sins and everything that David had committed. And so Nathan is now going to David concerning what happened. But look how cunning it's going to be. Nathan is using a parable, and a parable is a story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, because they say when you speak to someone in a parable, first of all, they have to ponder on what you said, and second of all, it helps them to get the true meaning. So I'm going to start at verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came unto him, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city. The one was rich, and the other was poor. The rich man was exceedingly many stocks and herds. He said the rich man had a lot of stocks and flocks and herds. Number 3, but the poor man had nothing, save, meaning except, one little ewe lamb, which he brought and nourished up. The man had one little old lamb, and the man had many flocks and cattle and herds and all of that, the rich man. But watch what happens. Now, this is a parable. Nathan is making, you know, you telling his story to make the truth be known and accepted. He said, the man had only the little lamb who he brought up in worship, nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. So the lamb was their pet, y'all. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in the bosom and was unto him as a daughter. So it must have been a she-lamb. The man was raising it, and how people love their pets, y'all know. So the little lamb was a pet to the man. They say he treated her as if she was his daughter. So y'all know that's love going on. Now watch what happened in verse 4. And there came a traveling to the rich man. Someone from out of town stepped in by the rich man's house. If you know anything about those times, anytime somebody came to you, you would have to cook and almost throw a feast, because hospitality was so serious that if you didn't do hospitality, you probably went to jail. And if you didn't do it right, you would be shamed in your whole community forever. So a rich traveler, a man came traveling unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. Now, the traveler comes. The rich man know he have to throw this feast. But he would not take one of his own flock or herds to dress for the man. But watch what he did in the fourth verse. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that will come. All he had, he didn't want, you know, none of his to be, he didn't want to make a subtraction on anything he had, and he had so much. So he had power over the poor man. So he decided to take the only thing that the poor man had, the little bitty baby lamb, dressed it and cooked it to serve it to the strangers, to the travelers. So this is what happened. And God knows everything. So God sent Nathan to David, and this is the way that Nathan is telling the story. You see, Nathan was a prophet, and his job was to confront sin, even if the sin was committed by the king. God gave a message to Nathan, his prophet, to inform David of his displeasure. David had heard, God had heard what David had done, the murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah and the adultery affair he had with Bathsheba. So God sent the prophet, look, you better go talk to him. You see, and he was necessary and a helpful gift from God to David. He served as God's spokesman to David and proved himself a fearless friend and counsel, always willing to speak the truth. See, Nathan had the ability to call a spade a spade. Do you have any friends like that? Or do your friends tell you what they think you want to hear? Don't even say anything. But Nathan would tell the truth, even to the king. You see, even when he knew great pain would result, it was important for him to tell the truth. You see, it's important how we see and then we say some things to people. You see, if you push them away, they will never receive the lesson. You see, what's important is how you present the message. Come on, y'all. May be as important as what you say. Presentation means a great deal. And sometimes it's not what you say is wrong to someone, but made in a voice and a temperament that you use. And here Nathan's trying to make it as easy as possible. He used a parable. Nathan had to use wisdom, courage, and great tact to speak to David in a way that it would make him aware of his wrong decisions. And Nathan didn't want to try to dance around the mulberry bush and David don't get to understand the problem of what he had did. You see, many times we overlook our sins because it's easy to see the sins of others. See, people are always ready to run and point out your sins. But you very seldom hear them talking about their sins. And you see, many times people who have sins that you could see, they always getting a bad end of the stick. And why do I say that? Because sin is sin, number one. And many times people perpetrate Christianity. And many times people, you know, sins are not seen, but it don't mean they're not there. People are always quick to judge your sin, like I say, especially the ones they could see. But anytime they're judging your sin, there's sins in them that can be judged as well. You see, when we confront others, we must go in love, a spirit of encouragement, and use wisdom. And we can only do that when we remember when. See, so many people forget. You see, now they done got in a better position with God. Plenty of the things they don't do no more, they don't do them because they can't do them. Come on now, y'all. They forgot when they ran around. They forgot when they was in the barroom. They forgot when they was going with somebody else's husband. They forgot when they was shacking up with a woman and wasn't married. Because they act like they don't remember when. Just the mere fact that it what's happening to them has been a part of your life should give you sympathy and empathy. And you should be able to work and go towards these people with love and not damnation. You see, all of us have fallen short at some time or another, and we thank God for his forgiveness. You see, God's forgiveness is not just for you. Come on, y'all. But it's for everyone. You want God to forgive you, but you can't forgive nobody else. Because, you know, everything you did was all right to be forgiven. But whatever somebody else did something, and especially if they did it for you, you take it as the horriblest thing in the world. And no matter what happened, you could never forgive them. Come on now. Remember when? In verse 5, and when David's anger was greatly kindled, a giant of a man. And he said unto Nathan, right here after Nathan telling that story, the man had the little bitty lamb. The man had all of this and all of that. He tell a story to David. David got mad. Because look what the scripture saying. David angered was greatly kindled. A giant of a man, big man, David, strong. He mad. And he said to Nathan. Now watch what he said. As the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. Verse 6. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold. Like he's going to give the lamb plus extra because he did this thing. And because he had no pity on the man and his family with the lamb. And verse 7. And Nathan said unto David. Y'all got to get ready for this. Nathan told him what happened. Used the parable. David got mad as a six-shooter. David told him what the punishment's going to be because he judging a man. And he said because of the judgment that he brought down for the horrible act that the man committed, he's going to pay the man back more than he had taken. So in verse 7, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. After David got so upset with the act that had been committed, Nathan now tell him, you the man. Thou art the man. And then he goes on to say, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king, talking about David, over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hands of Saul, who was the king before David. And 8, and I gave thee thy master's house. Come on, y'all. And thy master's wives unto your bosom. And gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And look what God said, y'all. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. He said, if you'd have just talked to me, whatever you want, David, I would have gave it to you. But let me remind you all that I gave you. And it's almost like a stab in the back for God, because all that God had did for David, it evidently wasn't enough. You know how you could do and do and do for some people? But it's never enough. You know how that feels? Because it don't seem what you do is never enough. You see, here we see David responds when he thought that the person was someone else. It is always easy to see the wrong of others and harder to see the wrong in yourself. You see, now David look at himself and realize his sin. He can't get around it, y'all. This is a great lesson of forgiveness. There are a lot of people that ask God to forgive their sins. And they think that they shouldn't have to suffer because of their evil ways. But somebody else sinned, you want them to just suffer. We must remember that Jesus took away our sins. But the consequences of those sins belong to us. You're not going to be held for your sins if you accept Christ. But the consequences that you do belong to you. And you see, the consequences of your sin happened in your flesh. Your spirit doesn't sin. It's your flesh that craves for all of these worldly things, sex, food, money, power, greed. Come on, y'all, lying, conniving, murder. It's through the flesh. And the sins that you commit in the flesh have to be paid with the flesh. Come on, y'all, listen to me. Because you see, when we go to eternity, your sins is not going to follow you because it won't be allowed in the New Jerusalem. And if it was allowed, you wouldn't even have them to bring. Because remember what I'm telling you right now. Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. And he did that. He said, it is finished, it's complete, it's well done. Everybody who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, sins are forgiven. And in Romans 8:1, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who love the Lord. God said, now since you accepted my son, he said, every time I look at you, I can no longer see your sin. I can only see my son that's living inside of you. But your consequences belong to you. You see, Nathan goes on and says that the Lord of Israel had said to him, all the many blessings that I have blessed you with was not enough. And you thought evidently it was too little. And he went on to say, I would have given you more just for the acting. God got a lot for many of us, but we don't take time to act. And we don't put ourselves in position to receive. You see, God owns everything. And he said, what sense would it make for him to withhold something from you if you're his child? Look what God told him. He said, you could have had it just for the acting. Ask yourself what you are asking God for. And stay in position to receive with God. Many times God is trying to bless you, but you're out of position. You see, God told you to go to the east, and you got a big leaning to your own understanding and doing what's seeming right in your eye, and you go to the west. You see, when we decide to disobey God, it is if we're saying what he has done, is doing, and promised to do is not enough. So I will do it my way. We have to have patience, y'all. And I come to tell you tonight, God doesn't need your help. Wait on God. Remember, God doesn't need your help, like I'm saying. How much is enough? And how much is just too much? We are ungrateful people. The more God does for us many times, we always want more. Trusting God is realizing that God knows what you need and even what you want. And we have to be careful, and this is how you get in position. In Matthew 6:33, God says, Jesus, as God says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Stick with the things of God and then expect to receive from God. We should thank God for what we have and always trust God for what we need. In verse 9, therefore hast thou despised the commandment of God. This is Nathan talking back again, y'all. To do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword and hast taken his wife to be thy wife. And had slain him with a sword of the children of the Ammon. Verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house. See, this is the consequences, y'all. God didn't let him die. God ain't going to let his past dictate his future. But there's consequences to be paid. He said, thy house, because thou hast despised me, has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Verse 11. Thou said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee of thy own house. You know anything about David? All his sons was trying to kill him. There was always something going on. His sons was getting killed. It just was a mess. Because look what God said in 11. Behold, I will raise up evil against thee in thy own house. And I will take thy wives. Watch this. I will take thy wives before thy eyes and give them unto thy neighbors, and he will lie with your wife in the sight of the sun, talking about in the daytime. Consequences, y'all. For thou did it in secret, I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Sun is light. 13. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also put thy sin away. He said, look, your sin is forgiven, David. Because you see, God told him, you shall not die. That means he was going to be saved. He said, God has put thy sin away. Thou shalt not die. And 14, how did, because of his deeds, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. He said, now you go out there doing all that monkey shine. You giving people a reason to think I'm not a good God. I'm a God without power. I'm not to be respected. He said, you have given a great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. He said, now let me tell you something else. All is the consequences, y'all. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Remember, Bathsheba was pregnant. He said, and you did all of that. I ain't going to kill you. I ain't going to let your past dictate your future. He said, but that child that Bathsheba is carrying is going to die. Consequences for action, y'all. We choose our sin. David saw Bathsheba in warning and did it. But God judges him, and he choose the consequences for your sin. Number 15, and David departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. The child was born, the child was sick. David know why. Okay, but look at this. But notice that God does what God does with David. God forgave David after his confession. David's life is spared, even though under the law, the penalty of this sin was death. Whenever you were caught in adultery, or whenever they could prove adultery, you were supposed to be stoned to death. You know, in the story in the Bible with the lady who the men brought and told Jesus she committed adultery, and Jesus said those without sin pass, throw the first stone. So when they say God didn't, you know, strike him dead, even though the debt for the penalty for that sin was debt, but God didn't kill him because God gets to choose the consequences. Hallelujah. God forgive David. Give David and whereby restore that interpersonal relationship between them so that David had a sense of peace and freedom from guilt. Ain't God a good God? God forgave the sin, but the consequences belong to him. God cannot overlook sin, y'all. God now gives his judgment, which is the consequences, in a sense saying that you have sown and now you're going to reap. You slept with someone else's wife. Now I give your wife to your neighbor to lie with. What you did in the dark, I will reveal in the noonday. This next statement I'm going to make show the sovereignty of God. The Lord has put away the sins, and thou shalt not die, but the consequences of those sins belong to you. God could do what he want, when he want, how he want, for who he want. There are plenty of people commit adultery. Some got caught, some didn't all die. People commit adultery today. They're not dying, and God do forgive it. David was told that he and his family would continue to suffer consequences as a result of this sin. But God still forgave him. David's sins and consequences not only hurt him, but the whole family for generations. For generations, y'all. The death of the baby is tragic. And if you look at that, you say, oh, his baby died. But let me tell you this. Because of that sin, God brought death to a whole nation. Because you see, as you read in the Bible, you know, David had Solomon and he had other sons. And from them came the tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it was always fighting and warring and because of the sin. Even though David displeased God, he repented, God saved, and continued to work all things out for his good. Here we see the grace of God so abundantly demonstrating and allowing Bathsheba to give birth to a son whom the promise of the Messianic covenant would continue. You see, when after the baby died, the first baby, between David and Bathsheba. David pregnant Bathsheba again. And Bathsheba had Solomon, who became the great and wisest and the richest king to ever live until his day, the Bible says. You see, God didn't allow his past to hinder his future. If God said it, it will come to pass. But disobedience may cause more bumps in the road than necessary. That's why the Bible says it's better to obey than a sacrifice. You're going on a 7-day journey to the promised land and it takes you 400 years, 40 years, I'm sorry. There may be more bumps in the road. Look at the Israelites. When you turn to God, accept his forgiveness, change your ways, he gives you a fresh start to feel forgiveness as David did. Commit and admit, not commit, but admit your sins to God and turn to him honestly, prayerfully, reverently, sorrowfully, and keep it moving. And that's my lesson for tonight. At this time, if anyone has any comments or they would like to add something in or they want to do or say anything at this time, you can do this. Any questions that maybe you don't understand, you could ask the question, and I'll try my best to answer the question. Anybody have anything to say at this time? Caller, your number is 504-430. Your mic is open.
Yes, Dadai. I just want to say this was a powerful lesson. Again, I learned something I didn't know, or if I didn't get it straight, you can clarify it for me. I didn't realize that Bathsheba was Solomon's mother. Is that what you said tonight?
Yes, Solomon was the child born to David and Bathsheba.
Okay. I knew it was David's child, but for some reason, I didn't realize that it was Bathsheba's. And I do appreciate that tonight. Thank you so much for the lesson. Thank you. I appreciate the way you brought it to us, and I appreciate learning things that I didn't know.
Praise God. Thank you so much. And you got to remember, see, David had other children before Solomon, but Solomon was like, if you want to kind of put it in a little bucket, like Isaac and Ishmael. See, you know, the firstborn supposed to receive the blessing, but Solomon wasn't the firstborn of David. But Solomon was given the reign after David because of God. So,
okay.
You know, probably has some discords going in there as well.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, darling. Thank you. And I thank you for your comments. Are there any other comments, questions, or concerns? Well, if that's everything for tonight, we could have our closing prayer benediction. And if anyone would like to do that, you can do that at this time. God is affording the opportunity. If anyone would like to do a benediction, do a prayer, you could press the one button on your phone. Well, okay. Caller, your number is 715. Minister Mackey. You pressed your one button?
Yes, I did. Just a song I thought about when you was doing the lesson. Except the Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. See if Jesus not building your house, don't you know your labor's in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. You've got to build your house in Jesus' name. Some folks build their house on a foundation that's made by sand. Then they find out that the house they are building is built up on sinking sand. But I want to build on a firm foundation that will last through the storm and the rain. That's why I'm building my house in Jesus' name. Sometimes while building on faith, love, joy, and doctrine sound, the devil comes around acting bad and tough. He's trying to blow our houses down. Though Satan can come with a hook in a puff, you see he's in the return of time. Because the house is up on Christ, he's the silent rock. Except the Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. Yeah, Jesus, I'm building your house. Don't you know your labor's in vain? Except the Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. We have to build our house in Jesus' name. Yes, we do. We have
Amen.
To build on
thank
a firm
you.
Foundation, a solid rock. God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the word on tonight, Lord God. We thank you for Minister Diane, Lord God. We ask that you would increase all the more, Lord God. God, we thank you, Lord, that we can come together on Wednesday nights, Lord, and to hear your word, oh God. And God, as knowing that whatever we do, all we have to do is confess unto you, Lord God. And your word say in 1 John that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we do thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent and paid the price on Calvary to redeem us back to you. And he didn't stop there. He made us his purchased possessions, and we thank you that we are your possessions, oh God. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And we want to build on the firm foundation. On Christ, the solid rock we stand, knowing that all other ground is sinking sand. And God, we thank you for everyone that called in on tonight, those that are listening on the computers, oh God, those that are listening by the airways, we do thank you. And God, we ask that you would touch those that are on the prayer list, oh God. Touch right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we pray for families whose loved one has passed from dead unto life, Lord. We ask that you would touch right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would bind a broken horse, oh God, that you would give peace to troubled mind. It is in Jesus' name I pray, because it is in him that we live and we move and we have our being. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Minister Mackey, for your participation. God established and offers this opportunity for y'all to join in, and you accepted God's invitation, and I say thank you. I have a caller. Your number is area code 909-827. You press the one button, and your mic is open at this time.
Praise God. What a beautiful lesson tonight. I press the number to say the benediction. So whenever you're ready for the benediction.
Well, I got one more lady, and I'm going to let you do
okay,
the benediction. I got one up. All right, thank you. I'm going to leave your mic
you're
open.
Welcome. Okay.
Sister Rosemary Coleman, your mic is open.
Good morning, Sister Diane. I just want to expand on the lesson. I mean, I really enjoyed this lesson. And, you know, the things that you're saying, I'm looking at today when I'm listening at the scripture where the rich man took it from the poor man. And that's happening today, because when they're giving out food, we may have a whole lot of food in our house, but yet and still we want to go out and be greedy and get the food that they're giving away where someone less fortunate than us won't be able to get some. So I understand this lesson, and I appreciate it. And like I said, I hope we all be doers of this lesson and just not hearers. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Sister Rosemary Coleman. Thank you. And at this time, we have our benediction from Sister Angelique Downing.
Praise God. The benediction tonight can be found in 2 Peter, 1st chapter and 2nd verse. And it reads, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen."
Amen, my sister. Thank you so much. And I'm so excited and I'm so happy that God is a provider. God sent Minister Mackey. God sent Joyce Brown first with words of encouragement. You see, we all need encouragement from time to time. And I thank God for you, Sister Brown. Then God sent Elyria Mackey and she sung us a song. Because if God don't build a house, you know, it's not going to stand. And then Sister Rosemary came in and expounded on the word of God and applied it to everyday life. And then Sister Angelique Downing came and gave us a benediction. I am so grateful and I'm thankful. All of us, this is our Bible study. And I thank you guys for playing a part. And if that's it for the night, I could say good night. And if it's God's will, and your desire, we'll be back next Wednesday. God loves you, and so do I. And go out and be blessed.